You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to talk about the power of touch in marriage. Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast, where we believe that marriage was meant for more than just happily ever after.
I'm Jennifer, also known as Unveiled Wife.
And I'm Aaron, also known as Husband Revolution.
We have been married for over a decade.
And so far, we have four young children.
We have been doing marriage ministry online for over 7 years through blogging and social media.
With the desire to inspire couples to keep God at the center of their marriage, encouraging them to walk in faith every day.
We believe the Christian marriage should be an extraordinary one, full of life,
love,
and power.
That can only be found by chasing after God.
Together.
Thank you for joining us on this journey as we chase boldly after God's will for our life together.
This is Marriage After God. Well, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marriage After God. We're super excited to have you.
Yeah,
you're looking at me funny, Aaron. Why are you looking at me funny?
I was wondering how if everyone knows that you're still pregnant, or if they're waiting to hear about the baby, because I don't know
I'm
if everyone
still
knows
pregnant.
The exact. Okay. Yeah, March 20th is the due date.
Creeping up on us.
We're like almost there. Also, along with the baby coming, we have the end of our season coming. So,
oh, yeah.
Season 3 of the Marriage
After
God podcast.
Their hearts?
I'm prepping their little hearts.
We'll come back. Don't worry.
Yeah. We have this episode and I think 3 more episodes.
Yeah.
To finish out the
it's
season.
It's actually really great timing, you guys. And it was intentional because postpartum's the real deal. And so I need time.
Yeah. So we're gonna take a break during the postpartum season.
We'll
and then we'll come
back right before summer starts.
Yeah.
We're super excited about that.
Which always, when we take these breaks, gives you enough time to go back to all the episodes you haven't listened to yet or haven't fully listened to.
Or re-listen to your favorite ones.
Or really re-listen to your favorite ones.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So I wanted to, before we get into today's topic, I wanted to start off this episode with with an encouragement of something that happened. But Aaron, when I mentioned that that's what I wanted to share about, you're like, no, let's just do the whole episode on that. So I'm not going to share it right now. That's what the whole episode's going to be about. So I'll intro it later.
Right. But what we can talk about is, we've talked about how we're going through, My Family 24 Ways.
Our 24 Family Ways.
That's what it is. Our 24
Family
Ways.
By Sally and Clay Clarkson.
It's a family devotional and it's 24 weeks long. We did it twice. The first time we did it, we did it in a quarter of the time because we just kind of took each day was
a new way.
Yeah.
And they come with these coloring pages. So it was a really great kind of quick overview of what it was about and gave us time to wrap our heads around it and get familiar with the content. And so that was super fun for the kids. We did that last summer. And then kicking off the new kind of school year in September, we're like, let's do the whole week and we'll use the, what is it, a devotional or a resource?
Yeah.
We'll use it the way that they wrote it.
And which is every way is a 5-day
process.
Process, yeah. So every day there's another verse you're reading, another idea, there's another question, but it's all in the same family way. And we just finished that.
Yeah, there's a couple weeks we didn't do because of travel or different things,
right.
But we just finished it and it was great. The kids loved it. We loved it.
Yeah. And we're bringing this up to kind of like recap that we told you we were going through. We gave it as an example to you all on a great way to start doing a family Bible time. It was a lot of fun. It was really easy. It has a lot of prompts for the parents to walk through. It gives you the questions to ask. But Jennifer, what are we doing now? So we finished our family 20, or what is it? Our 24
our
Family Ways.
24 Family Ways.
By Sally and Clay Clarkson. You should go pick that up on Amazon. So we're done with that. And we loved that. But what are we doing now?
So yeah, there was that question creeping up to the end of that resource that we were like, hey, keep in mind, what are we going to do next? And there's lots of different things that we could have chosen.
Yeah, we've done it before where we just like read through some of the Bible, read just whole chapters.
Yeah. I proposed to Aaron, I said, why don't we focus on some of the kind of major Bible stories? Like, our kids are still pretty young and they know a lot of the stories, but just clarifying for them what actually was taking place during those stories and what are the details. And so we'll take a whole week on one story. And what I didn't share with Aaron was my heart behind it was, and let's focus on how Christ is pictured in these stories, which I just thought would be a really cool perspective, but I didn't share that part with you for some reason. I just said the Bible story thing really, short and brief. And so I started making a list of the different Bible stories and I put them up on our chalkboard and you love the idea. And that first day that we started out with creation and Adam and Eve, you're like, and guys, cause you're like, basically laying out what they can expect from how Bible time is going to change for us. And you told the kids, so we're going to dive into these Bible stories, one story a week, but we're going to see how Christ is at the center of each one. And I love that you did that. We were totally like on the same page without even having talked about it.
And it's been really good. Elliot's been loving them because he loves talking about these stories. And also all the questions and the digging in and how there's correlations to Christ and, Adam or, these stories that we all know of.
Just in simple things like in Genesis, when it says, we're going to make them in our image and get the kids to really like focus in on what
like
that one word is.
Who's us? Who's talking here about Adam? And Elliot's like, oh, it's God and Jesus and the Spirit.
Yeah.
So he got the idea in the beginning. And just an encouragement for those that are listening. You're probably thinking like, okay, like all of our kids know these stories, but you actually be surprised at the stories that you kind of know because you grew up in Sunday school or how if they don't ever get brought up, your kids aren't going to know them. They're not going to know the story of Noah's Ark. They're not going to know the story of Jonah and the well. They're not going to know the story of Joseph and Abraham and Isaac and Adam and Eve and creation. We have to do that. Yeah. We have to teach our children these stories. And they're not just stories, they're history.
Yeah. And my encouragement would be for our sake as adults, going back to some of these stories have been encouraging because then we either see things we never saw before or somehow it's relevant to something that we're going through that we can apply. That's just an encouragement.
Yeah, and it's just getting back into the Word of God always and remembering these powerful testimonies that God's given us of who He is, His plan for redemption, and His story, for us.
Yeah.
Awesome. So before we get into the topic, I just, as usual, we have a free thing for you. If you haven't taken the Marriage Prayer Challenge yet, we dare you. Take the Marriage Prayer Challenge. It's marriageprayerchallenge.com. It's a 31-day email series where you're going to get emailed every day with something to pray about and a reminder to do it. So you're going to be praying for your husband or your wife every day for the next 31 days. And we just want you to jump in. It's almost 50,000 people have now taken this challenge.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. So if you're not one of those 50,000, I just want to encourage you to go right now, take a break from the podcast even. Go sign up, marriageprayerchallenge.com. It'll take you like 1 minute. And then come back and finish the episode.
All right. So today's topic is on the power of touch. And again, this is something that happened recently in our marriage that impacted me so much that I told Aaron, I'm going to share about that in the next podcast. And he was like, no, we're doing the whole episode on this.
And you're like, we don't need to do a whole episode. It's just a little passing idea. And I was like, no, this is actually really important because of how much powerful value you got out of it.
Yeah. So, and we understand that sometimes our episodes go quite long. And so we're just going to jump in. We're going to dive in and give you the tips and tricks that you can do
up front.
Right now. We're going to just do them up front.
That way, if you don't listen to the whole episode, you're going to walk away with the best tips for touch.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So what's the first tip they can get real quick?
I mean, I'm just thinking like when you're passing by each other in the kitchen, you both have these tasks on your mind that you're trying to get done.
Yeah.
Just give a little, elbow to the gut and let that spouse know that you're there next to them, working alongside
them. It also might even like get them out of your way for a second.
Yeah.
It's
like a twofer.
Yeah. Another little tip is like when you guys are laying in bed and like just right before your spouse is falling asleep, just to remind them that you're there and that you love them, just giving them, a wet finger to the ear. Or like a little like tap on their neck to like tickle them a little bit. Like
maybe those a pinch.
Yeah. Pinch. Those kinds of things like let your spouse know like, hey, I know you're just, we're almost falling asleep, but I love you.
I love you so much. One of my favorite ones is when you're like out on a family excursion and your spouse is wearing a backpack and you're kind of walking, a little bit behind them, just give that backpack a little push to the left or right. And it really throws them off, but it reminds them, hey, I'm here with you.
It's almost like it gets them to like flip around a little bit and then they could see you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a, you know.
The whole point of touch really is to interrupt what's going on. It's to interrupt the day and to say, I love you.
Everyone's probably listening thinking like, are they serious right now? We are totally playing.
Yeah.
We're being playful. These are funny. These are funny ways. Don't actually go by and especially if your wife's pregnant, elbow her in the stomach.
Oh, don't do that.
Don't do that.
No, we're just kidding.
No, we actually legitimately want to talk about the power of real loving touch. Yeah. And what it means and how it works and why God's given us this gift of touch. And the benefit from what we've seen in our own life, something that Jennifer's going to talk about in a second, experience that she had with me. And then we're going to talk about that and encourage you, the listener, you husband and wife who are in your car or in bed or at home, walking around the house, whatever you're doing, listening to this, to just remember to touch more.
Yeah.
It should be obvious, but it's not.
I'd even say evaluate whether, like, how long it's been since you've intentionally touched your spouse, or, you know, what does that touch look like either throughout the day or in the morning or at night? And mm-hmm. just let the Lord inspire you today when it comes to touching your spouse.
Yeah. And this isn't just for those that they're, one of their love languages is physical touch, because every human, actually every organism in the world requires touch for that stimulus for healthy growth,
yeah.
Especially for human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but so this isn't just for those that their love language is physical touch. Every single one of us need to focus on this. And if it's not your natural tendency to do so, then we just got to work a little harder.
Yep. Okay. So this is what happened. I was having an off day. I felt run down. I felt tired.
Super pregnant.
I mean, just physically, I just was not doing well. And yeah, just super pregnant. And if everyone listening right now, you're just thinking about that off day you've had and you're like, okay, I can relate to that. But I felt overwhelmed and I was getting ready to jump into school time with the kids. And I just had already felt exhausted. And so I was...
It was like the morning. We haven't even gotten our routine going yet.
Yeah, nothing had started yet. And I was already feeling down and I didn't say anything about it. I just was trying to do what I knew I had to do, mm-hmm. right? That saying, do the next right thing. And so I'm in there with the kids. And Aaron, usually your routine is after Bible time, you get a cup of coffee and go out to the garage. That's where you work. But you didn't do that. You came in, you came straight to me. You like beeline right for me. And
which is not normal for me at all.
No, usually there's just this space where you're like, maybe even question like, hey, how are you? What's going on? You didn't do any of that. You just opened the door, walked over to me, had me stand up and you just wrapped your arms around me and you just held me. And I was like in tears over it because I didn't realize that I even needed that in that moment. And even though I felt like sobbing in that moment, I think I might have even chuckled because it was like so refreshing. It was like that, okay, that mm-hmm. I see.
Well, and also like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I'm definitely questioning that. But it was such a beautiful moment and such a beautiful experience. I had to share it and I wanted to share it with you guys because it really impacted me and nothing needed to be said. Nothing needed to be more than that. It was just, hey, there was so much said in the action itself of, I'm here for you. I love you. Mm-hmm. You can do this. I remember Truett had climbed up on the desk and he was just staring at us, probably wondering like, what are they doing? You know, he's still little. He's a year and a half.
And all that PDA's going on. He's like, what's happening here?
But it really made me feel so good to be embraced. Mm-hmm. And I loved that moment. I love that you had a heart that was soft enough to know what I needed and to not let anything distract you from comforting me in that way.
Well, and I'll admit to everyone listening, I'm sure other men are much better at this. There's some people that are just naturally prone to like gentleness and comforting and recognizing weaknesses in others and wanting to go love on them. But that is not my natural mm-hmm. position. I'm not naturally gentle. I'm not naturally sensitive.
I would say you're more like, I would say that more so you'd like to communicate about it. Like, tell me what the problem is. And this is how I can fix it, which I think a lot of people probably think that way.
And then on the negative side, I would say my worst way of dealing with this is feeling inconvenienced by someone else's weakness, feeling inconvenienced by your feeling down, or because all I'm thinking is like, we have this routine. You just got to move forward. And what's happening right now is like halting all that. And that's my natural position. But you have been praying for me for a long time for this. Others have been encouraging me and rebuking me at times mm-hmm. about my lack of sensitivity, my lack of gentleness. And it's something that I've been praying for myself because I'm a dad, I'm a husband, a leader in my church, and it's important in every aspect. And so I've just been praying that God would help me be that way. So this is not a common event, but that morning,
yeah,
I just felt like, oh, she probably just needs a hug.
Yeah, no, and it was perfect. And, you know, I just feel like I have to say this logistically. I know that this can't happen like this in every marriage. Schedules are different.
Gone for
people are deployed. So there's a lot of different types of scenarios or situations where in marriage where maybe you can't comfort them in that way with the power of touch, but it can be done still in a phone call or a text message or any opportunity where you are together, right?
Well, I would say, yeah, the physical touch is still important.
Yeah.
I would say more important in those very little amounts of time that you would have. So if anything, I would just the encouragement for someone who's not around their spouse often should make sure they take that focus more seriously. So I got a question for you. So I again, this is
for me or for them,
for you, Jennifer. It's not normal, but in that moment I came in and I surprised you by doing something out of the ordinary and just holding you, not trying to give you solutions, not trying to ask you questions, not feeling annoyed by the inconvenience. I just genuinely came to hug you and hold you and love you. What message does that send to your heart?
Yeah, it was really powerful for me. I felt like in that moment, there was this just, first of all, rush of peace. I feel like you reminded me that I'm loved, that I am cared for, that I'm thought of, that I'm not alone, even though I'm alone with the kids currently trying to do school. You were reminding me in a physical way that you're there and you're supporting me and you're encouraging me. And that how I'm feeling physically in that moment, yeah, it sucks and it's hard, but that I can continue on. And that I have to, basically. But it was immediate comfort.
It gave you something that you didn't have before.
Reassurance, yeah.
How did it make you feel toward me? Was there like anything you thought or like, wow, like this about my husband?
Yeah, well, specifically just that we are on the same team. That you're there for me even when you can't take over for me. Like you couldn't just take over and do school that day. Like you had work to do. You needed to go get to it. But that you were supporting me in a comforting and encouraging way by letting your presence be known and just that embrace.
Did it make you, because you've seen plenty of times in the past, my annoyance, my dissatisfaction with a scenario like this. Did it make you feel more confident in my love for you to see the opposite of that?
Oh, totally. Like, it really affirmed me. And to think that you stopped your routine, you stopped your day, you stopped what was habitual of going out to go to work for me. Like that was super thoughtful. And so it was an immediate affirmation of this man loves me and cares for me and wants me to be okay today. And that it did that. Like my perspective, my attitude, everything kind of just shifted in a more positive direction. And I was able to get through that time with the kids in a much better way.
And I remember it drastically changed your perspective of the day.
I was going to say my countenance.
Your countenance. Even. By the end of the day, like I feel like you were more accomplished at the end of the day. Like you had the house clean, you had the, like you felt like a winner.
Yeah.
Like everything was done that you probably were in the morning thinking none of this is getting done today.
Yeah. And it feels so weird talking about it because in this way, because I feel like we're sharing like in depth what the impact was, but it was such a small thing. It really was. It was, it was such a small moment of physical touch that happened in our marriage that really changed the whole day around.
Imagine what would happen if that was a more consistent event.
Yeah, for both.
For both of us.
For both of us, yeah. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are there any standout moments of when I have randomly touched you or that have impacted you?
Yeah. When I saw this question, I immediately was thinking about the times in the past where we're sitting somewhere, maybe in church or at a friend's house or just out in public, and you'll put your hand on my back and just start tickle rubbing my back or, you know, run your fingers across my hair, or the back of my neck or those little things, even if they're only for like a split second, it instantly makes me feel like, wow, that felt really good. My wife touching me, wanting to connect with me that way. It also gives me this boost of confidence because in public, when you're around people, I don't know if other men feel this way, but there's a confidence boost of like my wife, my woman loves me and like is showing it, isn't afraid to show it.
It's basically like earlier you asked me what message did it send to my heart, what you did to me. So this would be what message is a couple when they're showing, you know, physical touch and affection, what message is it sending to others?
Well, and it, but the message to others sends a message to me. It makes me feel powerful, makes me feel respected. Like it's a little thing, but like, my wife not being afraid to show affection to me in public means that she loves me that much that she's willing to show others that love publicly. And there was a just confident boost in that. Other times, just like if we're laying in bed and you just, you know, reach over to hold me or to play with my hair or to, you know, scratch my back or like little things like that, that have been really, I'm like, oh, like it immediately makes me feel really close to you. Like, oh, we're together. We're on the same page. Because you know what, when you're like, and everyone can relate to this. So when there's like a fight, a disagreement, there's conflict in the marriage, the last thing you want to do is touch. And so usually not touching is a common signal for distance, for like, we're not on the same page. So that reaching across the bed, that reaching across the table, that reaching, you know, over to your spouse, getting close, drawing near is the symbol of unity. Is that proof of like, well, we're here together. Like I'm with you, like you're mine. And it's not obligated. It's not like, hey, I can you scratch my back? Hey, I need a back massage. Or hey, can you rub my feet? Like, which is not bad things to ask, but the unprompted, the desire, the actual desire, like I'm going to reach out and put my hand on my spouse in a gentle way. And for the purpose of touching them, for the purpose of knowing them and feeling their, the warmth of their skin. It does a lot for that spiritual connection, that unifying nature of being one.
So when I was thinking about ways that I'm intentional with trying to be, you know, physical with you, I wanted to share this, just as a tip for anyone listening is, for me, getting in the car is a trigger because I know I can reach over and hold your hand,
right?
Whether you're driving or I'm driving, one of our hands is free. And so for me, I know it's such a simple thing, but just reaching over and grabbing each other's hands for a couple seconds, even if it's not long lasting, is just really good too.
Something that, just another tip, another trigger when we're out to eat, I know I'll put my hand on your knee. Like when we're close together.
Like date night.
Or we'll hold hands under the table, things that we, that keep us connected. And then another thing you know, you're bringing up these trigger things to remind us of when we can touch and where, and when we're in bed, cause often like we don't, we're both really hot. So like we don't cuddle too often cause it's
temperature hot.
Yeah. We're temperature hot, but like it could be easy to just get in bed, do your thing, forget. And then you're like rolled over and no touching's happening, no connection. But reaching over and like playing with your hair, you know, just, or putting my hand on your shoulder or holding hands with you. Like
I love all of that.
So even though we can't cuddle because we're too like temperature hot,
more so during pregnancy, I'd say.
But I'm just a hot sleeper. So it's hard for me to just want to cuddle for hours. I'll be sweaty. But that doesn't mean there's not ways that we can connect. And
would you say that there's any ways that I've failed in this area? I just want to be honest with
that's
people.
That's a big question to ask.
I know.
Well, of course we've both failed, in this area because selfishness creeps in and when we're selfish, and usually it plays out in, well, I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I deserve. So I'm not going to give what they deserve, what they want or what they think they deserve until I get mine. And we do that to each other, and we have in the past, so we've gotten way better at it. I would say, we're talking about just non-sexual touch right now. I mean, sexual touch is so important. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but.
Well, and just on this side note, any sort of physical touch will not just lead to sexual intimacy, but definitely cultivates that environment where you want more.
Not negative physical touch. We're talking about like actual intentional positive touch.
Affirmative.
I would say just over the years, and this is something that God's been growing us both in, is sexual touch. Initiating, reaching out and saying, hey, I want to be with you. I want to experience this time with you. But that's something that we've been both growing in. So
Something that, is required in order to grow in this area is communication. So this is just an encouragement to our listeners. If, they struggle with, oh, I wish my spouse would touch me and they're not, and not wanting that bitterness to grow, you got to tell them, you got to tell them how it makes you feel, or that you want to be encouraged in your relationship. So you want to have more, you know, like, wouldn't you say that that's really important to be able to talk about it?
Yeah. Not just, because we sometimes get into this mode of, if I say something, then it's going to devalue the receipt of it.
So I've done that before. Don't do that.
If I tell my wife what I want and then she does it, then it's devaluing it.
So it's almost like, no, they just got to know rather than like, I'm going to communicate. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they have a way of thinking because of the way they were raised that just totally makes them disregard things that I want or need.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe their mind just hasn't been on it. And by bringing that message in a positive way, like, hey, I think we've done this before. Hey, I think we need to kiss more. Or, hey, yeah. I think we need to hold hands more. Or whatever the thing is that would fill you up. Talk about it in that sense where it's like, let's both make a commitment to do this more, you know?
I totally agree. And I think it's just having this desire to, well, we'll talk about the actual, like, touch is just so much more than just, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that more. The Bible talks about touch a lot. Jesus touched people a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we get this idea of the Savior, the King, the Lord, the Creator coming to earth himself, God himself coming to earth in the form of man to touch us, right? There's a famous painting of God touching Adam's finger, right? There's this idea of Jesus coming to earth in the flesh is like the ultimate, you know, intimacy act of saying, you know, God saying, I'm going to go come to touch you and to heal you and to make you be with me forever.
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
Ever. Mm-hmm. And so we get to see this picture, and why don't you read John 13:5 of this super intimate moment that Jesus had with his disciples.
Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So that was like really simple. And I like you said, it's just a really beautiful picture of intimate touch.
Right. And it's, this story shows us the servanthood of Christ, him, you know, girding his loins, wrapping the towel around his waist, getting on his hands and knees.
And everybody was probably quiet. Like, beneath what is he gonna do?
Yeah. Beneath his disciples. Mm-hmm. Like he lowered himself even beneath his disciples to wash their feet. Mm-hmm. And then he tells them, go and do likewise. Mm-hmm. Essentially, which is go wash each other.
Yeah.
Go touch each other, go embrace each other, go walk in such a way that you guys are unified and do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Look at, I'm lowering myself as a servant. So go lower yourself as servants for the sake of washing each other and embracing each other.
I wish that the Bible was more descriptive in this, you know, situation, because I would love to hear what was going through the disciples' mind when Jesus is, you know, getting ready to do this. And while he's doing it,
we only get Peter's response, which is, he's like, no, don't do it. And then he's like, unless I do this, you have no part of me. He's like, wash my whole body.
But also like how were they impacted by this experience? I want to hear more of that. Mm-hmm. But they walked with Jesus, and I'm sure they had even more physical interactions with him as far as just arms touching or hugging or shaking hands or whatever, you know, probably took part in their relationships as they spent that time together. You know, just thinking how was this touch different and what message did it send to each one of them about their relationship with Jesus?
Well, and what I think is awesome is you have Jesus is called our high priest. This is just a thought I was having right now while we're talking about this. And the priests in the Old Testament had to do all of these ceremonial washings for themselves so that they can atone for the sins of everyone else. Mm-hmm. So they first had to wash for themselves. And we learn that Jesus did not have to do this because he was perfect. So we have perfect Jesus already perfectly, like did not need to be washed by any means because he was perfect, getting down to actually touch the dirt of his brothers, of his disciples. And also how powerful it is because God's created us in such a physical way to need touch.
Well, he designed our bodies with the ability to receive it, right? Yeah. Like we have nerve endings and we can feel, and I just think that's fascinating.
Yeah, we have this perfect God in human flesh touching other men's feet and touching the flesh of others. And so there's a physiological response happening, a spiritual response happening, an emotional response happening. All of these things are happening at the same time with the King of the universe. But we get to experience that in little ways in everyday life with our spouse and with others, because this physical touch thing shouldn't just end at, like, oh, I'm not a very touchy person and I'll try and touch my wife more, but I don't touch others. Like the Bible tells us to embrace each other. Mm-hmm. Like to, and how important touch is, just gentle, loving touch mm-hmm. in everyday life. It actually has a physiological healthy response in the body mm-hmm. that helps us with many things, but spiritually it reminds us that we're close
yeah,
and that we're together and that we're unified and that we care.
Which is so important in marriage. Right?
Infinitely important.
Infinitely. Do you remember the time that I washed your feet when you came home from Brazil?
I do.
So we didn't have, this is pre-kids.
My feet were pretty dirty.
Second year of marriage, I want to say. We were living in Florida at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had a job. I was working at a preschool. And you felt encouraged to go to Brazil. Mm. Well, we were missionaries. I just happened to have a job to support us while we were working in Florida. But we were working for an organization that was preparing a trip to go to Brazil. I think it was for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
It was 2 weeks on the Amazon River. It was pretty awesome.
And so you went and I missed you like crazy. But I had been reading this passage about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And I just felt so encouraged when you got home, which I think was like, yeah, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was late crazy. At night, yeah.
Yeah.
Or early in the morning.
It was like the middle of the sleep hours. And I remember you came home and you went to go take a shower and I'm like, take a bath and let me wash your feet. Do you remember this?
I do. And I remember, I mean, 2 years in our marriage, we were already starting to experience some of those hardships and relational struggles. And, it wasn't as bad as it was later on in our marriage, but it was already there. And, mm-hmm. but it was events like this, which I think helped elongate our process of not falling apart sooner.
Yeah.
Those little bits of surrender, that those acts of like, well, we don't know what to do. We're going to try this. Like, yeah. So you're praying and you see this and you're like, well, I'm going to try and walk in this. You tell God, Jesus says to do this. And my husband's going to go home. I'm going to wash his feet.
When I remember specifically thinking like, I wanted to feel close to you. I wanted to send that message to you that, hey, I'm your wife, I'm your helper. And I want to do what Jesus did and love you in that way. And I saw this, what Jesus did, as a very intimate thing. And so I just told myself, I'm going to have the courage and just ask him if I could wash his feet.
And I remember it made me feel really close to you. It Aww. Made me feel really loved, made me feel really honored. It also, like, it just surprised me. It was a surprising thing. I was like, wait, what? It was a very impactful moment for us. Mm-hmm. It was so impactful. We actually put that challenge in our 30-day devotionals for husbands and wives, mm-hmm. for them to wash each other's feet. So...
Well, while we're talking about Jesus, you know, my mind's always, I feel like I'm always going back to Marriage After God, but if you haven't gotten a chance to read it, you guys should definitely get a copy. It's the book that Aaron and I came out with last year. But there's a section of we're talking about how a marriage after God is intimate, mm-hmm. and it talks about Jesus. And I just wanted to read it really quick. It's on page 65. If you do have the book, a marriage after God relentlessly pursues and embraces intimacy with each other and with God. Our greatest example of this level of intimacy is, of course, Jesus. He put his hands on people who no one else would dare to touch. And there's a reference there to Luke 5:13. He reached down and held a dying little girl's hand, giving her life again. Mark 5:41. He broke cultural taboos to talk to people, John 4:9, and he wept over the death of his close friend, John 11:35. That's our Savior. He embraced intimacy. If we are not intimate with God, we cannot be intimate with other people. We cannot weep with those who weep or mourn with those who mourn or laugh with those who laugh. We must look to the example of Christ and be willing to embrace intimacy with God and in our marriage. And I was just brought to remembrance of that section of the book because of how intimate Jesus was, that he was willing to do all those things. When I think about him holding that little girl's hand, and it's like, no matter what hardships we face in marriage, we can think to his example and go, I can reach over and hold my spouse's hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think of the example of Christ touching like the lepers and the sick and the bleeding and the things that a priest wasn't allowed to touch. Yeah. Otherwise it would make him unclean. Jesus was willing to touch unclean people. Because in reality, all are unclean. Mm-hmm. And so he's touching these lepers, he's touching these sick, he's touching these blind, these people that were outcasts, that desired to be healed, desired to be known, desired to be reconciled to the community. And it's kind of like this picture in our marriage, like, are we only going to touch when everything's perfectly right? Or are we going to, in the midst of our pain and our hurt and our ugly and our, you know, smelly and in our dirty times, are we going to touch? Mm. Are we going to embrace? Are we going to hold? Are we going to reach out our hands and draw our spouse closer to us? Because even though often in our vows we say, you know, for better or for worse, it's often just for the better, you know, and when it's in the worst, it's like, well, I don't have the energy right now, or until you change, or unless this happens, when it's those times that it's the most necessary. Jesus said it this way. He said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick.
And I would even say most impactful. Like when you know you're either at odds with each other, or there's tension, or there's hardship,
or you don't deserve it,
And that and your spouse reaches across the table and touches you in that way. Oh my goodness, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's impactful. And I think that that's exactly what maybe one, maybe a lot needed here today. I mean, I just feel like that was really encouraging, Aaron, even to me.
Well, it's encouraging to me. It's something that I have to continue to remember. You were having a hard time today. And my flesh is like,
get up, Jen.
Well, no, it's like, I don't know if I can handle you having a hard time again today. Mm. Because I mean, which is totally my selfish flesh, because I'm not experiencing what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to just empathize right away. Mm-hmm. But when you walk in the spirit, so my choice to be like, you know, like I'm going to understand my wife right now. I'm going to walk in an understanding way as the word tells me to do. I can realize like, this is a hard season for you, and I'm going to have this hard season with you. And so just go and hug you and hold you and
tickle me with your beard, which didn't help, Aaron.
funny touching is good too.
You were being playful. It was really sweet. And again, I do appreciate that you came to my level and you saw me where I was at and you had compassion on me.
Right. And for the husbands out there who are similar to me, go against your flesh and walk in the spirit and do this for your wife. To be honest, some of you men that are listening are probably thinking like, man, I don't ever do that. Mm. You know what? You know, impactful. She'll probably not know what to do.
And like, that's probably why she'll laugh.
You'll go and you'll try and like draw her close to you, and you're going to feel super awkward, and she's going to like tense up, and you're going to pull her closer, and you're just going to say, hey, I know it's kind of weird, but I just want to hug you. And then you know what's going to happen? She's going to realize it's real. Yeah. And then you'll probably feel her melt. Mm. So don't be afraid to do it the first time. It gets easier. And ask the Lord to help you do it too. Ask the Lord to help you physically encourage your spouse with that physical touch, with the gentle, the loving, the caring, the caress, the just that softness.
It's good. So we've said it a couple times, but just this idea that physical touch sends a message to your spouse. And there was just a kind of handful of ways that I was wanting to share with you guys about what those messages might look like. So this isn't like, you know, 100% perfect. It's just,
no, it's just
some encouragement.
When you do this, it kind of sends these messages.
Embracing each other says, I trust you and I need you in my life. A comforting hug says, I'm here for you. A kiss says, you're mine and I love you. Holding hands lets your spouse know you like them and you like spending time with them. Tickle rubs, massages, running your fingers through their hair says, I want to make you feel good. And most times lets them know that you desire even more physical touch.
It's true. And for those that are afraid of that last part, if I do this, then it's going to make them want more. I think that's something that should be prayed through in your heart, of like, you're avoiding touching your spouse because you are afraid that that will make them want more from you sexually. Mm-hmm. And if that's a fear you have, and that's a negative thought you have, which is something that keeps you from reaching out and touching your spouse, I think that's something you should pray about, that God would change in you. And there's a scripture specifically about this.
Real quick, I just have to say, there's a flip side to this of when your spouse is giving you physical touch and you don't want it to lead anywhere, that you're not just stewing while they're touching you thinking, they better not. And then the moment it starts leading somewhere that you don't want it to go, you're thinking, see, I knew they were just doing it to get that thing. But you know what, you guys, God designed marriage to be physical. Mm-hmm. And
it's the pretty much the only confines for biblical, healthy physical touch.
Yeah. Like we need to be there for each other in that way. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's a specific reason why you don't want it to be led somewhere, you got to speak up. You got to let them know. Otherwise, your heart's just going to wrestle.
And there's a loving way. It's like, hey, I'm really enjoying, you know, you reaching out, you touching me, playing with my hair, you rubbing my back. And I know you might want something more. And I just want to let you know that tonight may not work. And so can we plan it for tomorrow night? Or can I reach out to, you know, can I let you know tomorrow? Or
yeah. Or the other way is to set aside whatever justification you're rolling around in your head and go for it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Oftentimes you get get to the end of it and you're like, oh, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did that.
Or, oh, I needed that.
Exactly.
Okay, so why don't you read that? It's 1 Corinthians 7:3-5.
Yeah, and this is a scripture that challenges both husbands and wives on the actual obligation we have to physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. It says this, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights. And we all know what conjugal means. And likewise, the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time. I like how, first of all, it says, except perhaps. So it means like, if this is going to happen in the rare occasions of depriving each other, it's going to be by agreement and only for a short period of time. Like, don't let there be long periods of time that this happens. That's what almost destroyed our marriage was long periods of time of not
me avoiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again. So Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So there's a very stark warning of, you know, the temptation that comes from avoiding each other sexually. And there's also the command that my body is not my own. It's hers. Mm-hmm. And her body is not her own. It's mine. Right. Mm-hmm. Which has tons of implications, and we can have another episode about this. Mm-hmm. But just as an encouragement, you shouldn't be withholding sexual intimacy from your spouse. If there's a good reason, then you need to discuss that and come to an agreement on it. If there's infidelity, which is a good reason to have a break from sexual intimacy, then
but not just a break, it's a break being prayerful.
It's a prayerful break for the purpose of reconciliation, for the purpose of building trust, for the purpose of coming together again stronger than before, if that's where you're at. And so there's a stark command in the Word of God that whose bodies are ours. Mm-hmm. My body is not my own. I don't get to just make decisions for my own body.
Yeah.
I have a responsibility to my wife, mm-hmm. and vice versa.
And we shouldn't be using, sexual intimacy as a tool and withhold it from each other or anything like that. We can't let division and disunity, mm-hmm. and that kind of heart to seep into the marriage relationship, which is so beautiful, mm-hmm. the way that God designed being married and living in this sacred space of like, there's no other relationship like it on earth. Mm-hmm. I receive from you, Aaron, you receive from me. There's physical closeness, embrace, touch, like there really is nothing like it on earth. And to be aware of that and the opportunities that we do have to come together. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just another place where I want to assert that if distance or timing doesn't work because of work schedules or something, you know, that is keeping, mm-hmm. circumstances that are keeping you guys from being physically close, that you're affirming one another with your words. Words are really powerful. And as much as this whole episode is about touch, you need to be affirming to each other and encouraging each other. Like, we can't be together right now, mm-hmm. but I'm going to make this a priority as soon as I see you. Right.
Yep. And I want to talk about some of the way God designed us and created us for touch, for that human connection, not just verbal, but actual physical. And there's a story that we've been told from friends of ours that have adopted in China, and they went to China and they walked into the orphanage and it was silent.
Like, and there's babies.
There's babies everywhere, but it's silent. No crying, no, like what you would imagine in a room full of, you know, lonely babies.
They said it felt eerie.
It was, well, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And this has actually been researched by a lot of people. There's several orphanage systems around the world that this is kind of the case where the babies aren't touched. They're not held. They're not hugged. They're not coddled. None of that stuff. And the babies very quickly learn that they're not going to be comforted. So they don't cry. They need it. They want to be comforted, but there's no the only way they can communicate does nothing, so they don't communicate. Mm. And it actually stunts their neurological growth. It stunts their physical growth. It stunts a lot of things in them just because they're not being touched. I remember hearing a story a while ago of an old man. He was single. His wife died years prior, and he wanted to find something to do with his life. And so he started going to the NICU at his local hospital just to hold the babies. Mm. He would go in there and he'd sit in a rocking chair and he'd hold babies that didn't have families or that they were sick or whatever it was. And he would just hold them for hours, rock them, sing to them, talk to them. And so he had this ministry of going and just holding babies, which is amazing. And beautiful. I think when he gets to heaven one day, God's going to like hug him for doing that. human touch is fundamental to our communication, to our bonding, to our physical health. There's been tons of research on how physical touch on even little amounts of levels, it brings healing to your body, physical healing. Like it helps you with your immune system, helps you with your neurological development. What human touch does is there's a chemical that God's put in our bodies called oxytocin. Mm-hmm. And it's released during sex. It's released during hugs.
It's actually released during breastfeeding while a mom is bonding with her baby.
Yeah, it's called the bonding drug. Mm-hmm. When you have an orgasm during sex, and oxytocin is released in both of your bodies, it actually causes you to physically, emotionally, mentally bond closer mm-hmm. with your spouse, which is also why it's prohibited to be having sexual relationships outside of your marriage, mm-hmm. because you're bonding in this way with other human beings that you're not married to. And this should be only happening within the context of marriage. Mm-hmm. But that oxytocin release, that hormone, is actually so good for so many things. It relieves stress.
Yeah,
it's like it combats what's the stress hormone? It's cortisol. Mm-hmm. It combats that. So you have too much of that in your body, and you have all this stress. And oxytocin being released through a hug, through a kiss, through an orgasm, through these things that release oxytocin in your body, and then boom, you're actually helping your body do what God made your body to do, mm-hmm. which makes it even stronger, healthier, more excited, more fit, less sad, right? It helps with depression. It helps with all these things. And these are all just the biological function of touch in your life, why it's so important. So again, like I said in the beginning, regardless if your love language is physical touch, every human being on the planet needs physical touch for healthy growth, healthy living. So you get to have access to this on a daily basis with your spouse. Think about how much more joyful and secure and confident and happy you'll be if physical touch is more consistent, like mm-hmm. healthy, loving, gentle physical touch. Mm-hmm. You know, a caress here, a hand holding there, a kiss, a hug, caressing the neck, you know, touching the ear, playing with the hair, all of these things, you know, that are so good for us and make you have to be so close. And it releases all these good things in your body. And it actually, it's a spiritual thing. It's an emotional thing. It's a physical thing.
That's really good. So often I think that as humans, we become contingent on the other person in the marriage to step up and do something.
Transactional.
Yeah. And so I think it's important to speak to that for just a moment, Aaron, and maybe you can share on this, but just as an encouragement to those listening that we shouldn't be waiting to initiate, waiting to insert ourselves and mm-hmm. be physical for our spouse to do it first or just take that first step, or mm-hmm. especially if there has been distance or time between a season of no physical touch.
Right.
What would you say to encourage them?
Well, I first want to talk to those that, like, maybe I'm imagining a husband who has a hard heart. There's something, you know, wherever they're in their marriage. And like, as we talked about earlier, touch is the last thing they want. Yeah. And I would imagine a wife is afraid to reach out and hold their hand because they're going to pull away and reject them.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the couple who they have tried to openly express and communicate that they want more, or that they're hurt mm-hmm. because it's not happening, and then they get shut down. And so that kind of like what you're saying about the babies crying and not crying in mm-hmm. the orphanages, they've learned to not speak up and to not say anything.
Because they're not going to get it.
So that makes me sad just thinking about that in marriage. Mm-hmm.
So my encouragement to those is to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Even if they reject you, mm-hmm. even if you lean over and you go to, you know, caress your wife's neck and she swats your hand away, or you reach over to, you know, put your hand on your husband's shoulder and he shrugs it off. It hurts. I'm not going to pretend that doesn't hurt. I'm not going to tell you to pretend it doesn't hurt, but you can hand that to the Lord and say, Lord, that hurts me, mm-hmm. but I want to love my husband. I want to love my wife. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's the next time you're walking by them through the kitchen, you just, for a half a second, rub your hand across their back. They can't stop you. And whether they say a word to you, they're going to think like, she touched me.
You're sending them a message still.
You're sending them a message still. And you do that over and over and over again. You know, they look frustrated. So you go up and you get close and say, hey, I'm praying for you. You just put your hand on their shoulder. They look sad. So you say, can I give you a hug? Even if they say no to you, do it. Mm-hmm. Reach out to touch someone, like the song goes, I reach out and, right? Like, go to your spouse and just don't give up. Don't give up doing good, for in due season you will produce a harvest. Mm-hmm. You will reap a reward. And it's, I mean, think about it. It's like what Christ did.
Yeah.
He reached out and touched a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so be Christ in your home to your spouse. Reach out and touch them. Pray for them. Put your hand on them. Try and grab their hand. Touch their lower back. Put your hand on their shoulder. You know, put your hand on their forearm. Whatever it is, just let them know that you want to touch them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, we hope that this episode encouraged you guys and just really brought you to a place where you're evaluating physical touch in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And I would say our charge to you would be an encouragement to be the initiator. I know we already mentioned that, but to be the initiator of physical interaction in your relationship with your spouse. And don't let your flesh, your insecurities, or your frustrations get in the way. Be courageous enough to reach out and see how that touch impacts your spouse.
And ask Christ to give you the strength and the courage to do it in a supernatural way with your spouse.
All right, Aaron, you want to close us out with prayer?
Yeah. Dear Lord, we praise you for the gift of touch. We thank you for the way you created our bodies and gave us the ability to feel and touch. We pray that we would be husbands and wives who use the power of touch to affirm each other in marriage and let one another know we are near. We pray we would have the courage to reach out and hug or hold each other's hand, even when it feels hard to do that or inconvenient. May our marriage be a priority in this way. May our touch remind our spouse that we love them and that we support them. We pray touch would encourage intimacy and closeness like we have never experienced in our marriage before. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. We thank you for listening to this episode. We pray that you would touch more. And that if you haven't already, would you just take a moment and leave us a review? Just scroll down to the bottom of your app, hit a star rating. That's the easiest way to do it. You can just tap a star. Or you can leave us a text review. We love those. And also, blesses us.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness in listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.
For people, when they're coming to check out the show for the first time, it also lets iTunes and other podcast apps know how to rank our podcast based off of reviews. So we love you all. We thank you. And we pray that God moves mightily in your marriages and draws you closer to him and your spouse. And see you next week.
Did you enjoy today's show? If you did, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a review on iTunes. Also, if you're interested, you can find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com. And let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.